Dear friends in Christ, what do you think of when you hear the words Ten Commandments? Two stone tablets with commandments chiseled on them. Maybe it's a bunch of prohibitions, things we can't do but we wish we could. Maybe it's a movie with Charlton Heston in it. But in today's first reading, God gives Moses the Ten Commandments on Mount Sinai. And many times we approach the Ten Commandments as a bunch of no's. You can't do this, you can't do that, no, you shalt not, no, no, no. Yet, friends, we are invited today by our responsorial psalm. I never preach on the response. It's really hard to most of the time, but I'm going to do it this morning. We're invited today by the responsorial psalm to consider the Ten Commandments differently. This is Psalm 19, if you want to go back to it. Psalm 19. Our responsorial psalm this morning, we said, "The law of the Lord is perfect, refreshing the soul." Right? The law of the Lord, the Ten Commandments, the laws of God are good for us. They refresh our soul when we obey them. It goes on, "The decree of the Lord is trustworthy, giving wisdom to the simple." The Ten Commandments teach us how to live in happiness and joy. "The precepts of the Lord are right, rejoicing the heart." Our heart rejoices when we follow the Ten Commandments. It goes on and it finishes. "They are more precious than gold, sweeter than syrup or honey from the comb." Dear friends, we are invited today to consider the Ten Commandments as much more than prohibitions. Because our God is a loving God, and because he loves us, he gave us the law. Because he loves us, he gave us his Ten Commandments. Because these are the way to true happiness and true fulfillment. Moreover, because of his love for us, he also knows that we're weak and that we fall into sin. And for this reason, he gave us the great gift of the sacrament of confession. As you know, I've been dedicating my Lenten homilies to the sacrament of confession, and in particular, how to make a good confession of our sins. Last weekend, if you remember, I discussed the first two steps in making a good confession. The first is that we make an examination of our conscience. We examine our lives and where we've sinned. And it's good to do this based on the Ten Commandments. And the second step was the actual confession of our sins. That to make a good confession, we must confess all of our mortal sins, both by name, by naming them, and also the number of times. And then we confess our venial sins, particularly the ones that we need the most help with. Today I'd like to focus on the third step. That is, when we make the act of contrition. When I was growing up, I remember that my mom, she taught us kids every night before we go to bed that we should make an examination of conscience for that day, right? That day, just those 24 hours. Where have I sinned? And to then make an act of contrition just before falling asleep. It's a practice that I continue to this day. Thank you very much, Mom, right? But why do we say the act of contrition? The act of contrition primarily is, it's an expression of sorrow. It's an expression of sorrow, that I'm sorry for my sins. That's what it is first. And secondly, we express a firm resolve to make amends. I'll come back to that, okay? First of all, what is sorrow? What is this expression of sorrow, this contrition? There are actually two kinds of sorrow. Two kinds of sorrow, two reasons why a person might be sorry for one's sins. The first sorrow is imperfect, okay? It's imperfect sorrow. It's sorrow, like I'm sorry for my sins because of the fear of hell, okay? This is imperfect sorrow. Yes, it refers to our serious or mortal sin, acknowledging that, yes, my mortal sins, if I don't seek forgiveness, yes, I can go to hell. So this is imperfect sorrow. Sorry because my sins might send me to hell. Even though this is imperfect sorrow, it's still sufficient, okay? It's still sufficient. Sorry, it's still sorrow. But the second kind of contrition, the second kind of sorrow is true sorrow. It is sorrow for my sins because they offend God. This sorrow is a higher form of sorrow. Why? Because it's based on the love of God. It is having such reverence and awe towards God that I don't want to do anything to offend my Heavenly Father. This is perfect sorrow. The sorrow that we should strive to have. And this is why it's beautiful whenever we express, there's an old form of the act of contrition that expresses that most beautifully when it says, I'm sorry for my sins because I dread the loss of heaven and the pains of hell. Yes, that's imperfect sorrow. But most of all, because they offend thee, my God, who are all good and deserving of my love. You see? Those are the two kinds of contrition that we express. Included within our act of contrition is a firm resolve to make amends. Now, what does this mean? This is a firm decision to change my life. A firm decision to live differently. To be forgiven, we must have this firm intention to do everything in my power, yes, with God's help, to avoid sin in the future, right? Because it doesn't really make a whole lot of sense to say, yes, Lord, I'm sorry for my sins, but you know what? I'm going to plan to do this same sin right afterwards. No. To express sorrow for one's sins is included. Included within this is this willingness to change my life with God's help. If we go back to another image in the gospel, this is in the Gospel of Luke, when Jesus encounters the woman caught in adultery. After Jesus tells those people around her that are about to stone her, he says, let he who is without sin cast the first stone. No one casts a stone. And then Jesus turns to the woman and he says, no one has condemned you and neither do I. And then he says, go and sin no more, right? And that's what Jesus also tells us. When he forgives our sins, it's as if he's saying, your sins are forgiven. Now, go and sin no more. Now, go and live differently. A changed life. A transformed life. Jesus wants to change our lives. But we also need to allow him to change us and not be afraid to let him change us. Brothers and sisters in Christ, we must believe, truly believe, that God desires us to be happy. God desires our happiness. God desires us to be truly fulfilled. And for this reason, he gave us that great gift of the commandments. Because as they are more precious than gold, as the Psalm 19 says, more precious than gold, because these commandments lead us to a truly happy, truly fulfilling life when we obey God's laws. Which is also why, because he desires us to be happy, because he desires for us to be fulfilled, he also gave us the great gift of confession. So that when we fail, that we would be able to continue to live his commandments, so that we would have the grace of God in our souls, that we might be able to live in his love and his joy and his peace. May it be so. God bless you. Amen.